talking about harvest time, that it's harvest time. And let's go back to our foundation verse, our theme verse. I'm going to read from the Message translation, John chapter 4 and verse 35. Guys, I know I didn't give you my notes today, and so if I don't mention what translation it is, it's going to be New King James. But this is John 4, verse 34, Message. It says, Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. As you look around right now, would you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes." That's what we need to do right now. Open our eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. And I want to read that next verse in the New Living, verse 36. It's really good. "The harvesters are paid good wages." Anybody a harvester here? "Are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike." So I like that for those that are out harvesting people. There's a lot of different kinds of harvest, but one we talk about here a lot is about the harvest of people. And, you know, you'll be paid good wages and you'll have joy. So those are a couple good things that we could all use that. Well, the first week in this series, I shared about the vision of raising up 1 million believers to reach over 100 million people. We just got back from Australia, and that was really stirring in our hearts, and we talked about that. The next week, I talked about with the vision comes provision, that in order to get this I Give Life message to the nations, we're going to need millions of dollars to do that, and so the Lord was going to provide that, and one of the churches, the ministries he's going to use is Good News Church, so that means he's going to use you. So it's trying to increase your expectancy about resources coming into your hands. Last week I talked about practical things that we should be doing in harvest time. And, you know, in Acts chapter 4, we had all those amazing things happen. And then they talked about the meeting the needs of the people and practical things about meeting people's needs. And so there's practical things we should be doing in harvest time. Well, this week, I don't know if this is the last week or not, but this week we should be expecting the supernatural. In harvest time, we should be expecting the supernatural, because our God is known for miracles. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Daniel chapter 6, verse 25, and I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Daniel 6, verse 25, and we're going to read a proclamation by King Darius, who is the one that threw Daniel into the lion's den. And so, not a nice guy, not a good guy, not someone you want to be around, like a lot of some of these rulers in different nations today. But this proclamation that he makes concerning God says a lot for a pagan king to be saying this. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 25, Message says this. Got that up there, here we go. King Darius published this proclamation to every race, color, and creed on the earth. "Peace to you, abundant peace." This is the guy that's trying to kill people. "I decree that Daniel's God shall be worshipped and feared in all parts of my kingdom. He is the living God, world without end. His kingdom never fails. His rule continues eternally. He is a savior and a rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. He saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this is a king making a proclamation about God. And I find it so amazing. So he's telling the world, he's telling everybody what God is like. And he says about God, he performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. And if you read through the Old Testament, it is full of miraculous stories about him and things that he did for the children of Israel and for his people. And that same God, that's our God. That's whom we call Father. He's a miracle-working God. Well, another thing is, Jesus was known for miracles. Matthew chapter 11, let's start reading in verse 1. Matthew 11, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus finishing commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see.'" So he's about to describe his ministry and describe who he is. "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." I'd say that's a pretty good resume. Jesus was famous for miracles. He was known for miracles. The woman with the issue of blood had heard about Jesus, heard about his miracles. People flocked to him, and they may not understood everything, because he kind of taught in some deep messages, some deep parables. And a lot of them didn't necessarily get what he was talking about, but they understood the miracles. He said he came to represent the Father. He came to represent the God of, the God of Abraham, the God of the Old Covenant. And the same things that his God and his Father did, he did. And he came to show us what God was like. And he didn't turn people away. And when they asked him, "Is he willing to heal?" he said, "I am willing." Now, the early church, which is our people, it's the people in the Bible that we can go and look at that we're most like. These are our people. Even though they were 2,000 years ago, they're in our lineage, they're in our family. And we need to go to the book of Acts and look and see what we're to be like and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. So let's look in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people." Now, why does it say through the hands of the apostles and not through the hands of the believers? Because many people were just coming in to the kingdom. They didn't have time to be trained. So it was the leaders that were the trainers, were the ones doing the miracles. And so you'll see that early on where it says, you know, the apostles did mighty works. But I want you to know that it's not just the apostles, because we know from Mark 16, it says that the believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So, but it says here, the apostles, "In the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." They were all healed. I believe that we're going to see that. I believe we're going to have meetings and see that, where they were all healed. So the early church was known for miracles. They were famous for miracles. Our God, our Heavenly Father, is famous for miracles. Jesus is famous for miracles. The early church is famous for miracles. So doesn't it make sense that this church today, that the body of Christ today, should be famous and known for miracles? Yes. Doesn't it make sense that in a time of harvest, when people are coming into the kingdom, that God's going to do miraculous things? Miracles are the dinner bell. Miracles attract the lost. Miracles settled the issue. So if we're in a time of harvest, and we're expecting a lot of people coming into the kingdom, and they are right now all over the world. We may not see it like we want to here in the United States, but it's happening in the world. We're in touch with, you know, what's happening. And the church today is known for miracles. So if that's the case, then I can proclaim and declare that Good News Church will be known for miracles. So what are some things that we can do to increase our expectations of the supernatural? Well, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked me. Appreciate that. Let's look over in Acts 2. Because, here's the deal. Many people today are like waiting on God to pour out some kind of thing, and then when that happens, then there'll be revival. And I would say to you that maybe He's already done that, and then He's waiting on us. But if we always have it that we're waiting on some kind of special thing, then that's going to cause us to be in a holding pattern. It's going to we're going to wait, and when we get the signs, then we'll step out. But I would say to you that He's poured it out. He's waiting on us, and we're going to be the ones that are going to step out. And so revival is the church. It's not a masses of people coming into the church being saved. Revival is when the people of God are stirred up. And so revival will cause evangelism, but evangelism is out there for the world. But revival is when a lot of us start getting stirred up, when we start expecting things, when we start walking in our calling, when we start doing the works of Christ, which He has already empowered us to do. And when that starts happening on a greater scale, we'll start saying, revival is here. But the fruit of revival is harvest. The fruit of revival is lost souls coming into the kingdom. The fruit of revival is disciples, more disciples being raised up. So I want revival. Do you? Well, if we want revival, then let's get revived. Paul said to Timothy, stir yourself up. And so I say to you today, Good News Church, which will be one of those churches known for miracles, I say to you, stir yourself up. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the word that's been planted in your heart. Stir up the things the Spirit of God has spoke to you, and stop saying it's going to happen one day. And let's say that faith is now. Yes. Let's start having some now faith. And faith is expectancy. Have you found Acts 2? Acts 2 verse 42, Amplified. And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instructions and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. And a sense of awe, reverential fear, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles, the special messengers. And all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ were united. And together, they had everything in common. And they sold their possessions, both their landed property and their movable goods, and distributed the price among all, according as any had need. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. And they partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. See, it was a church and a people that was stirred up. They were so stirred up. Just think of this. They were so stirred up, they went to church every day. Now, my dad, I was raised Catholic, and I remember my dad going to Mass every day, and I just thought how weird it was. He used to get up at 5 in the morning, and sometimes just to be a good son, I used to go with him, and, you know, it's a whole different world than, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I would go, to Mass with my dad, and they would go through all that, receive communion, and we'd come home and have breakfast together. And, you know, when we went to Mass, there was about 15 of us there. And most of them were over the age of 70. I was the only young person there. But I just thought that how amazing, going to Mass daily. That's what he did. Now, I don't. Maybe we start needing to have something in the morning. How about 6 o'clock tomorrow? Who's going to be there? But daily, going to church, daily praying together, daily having meals together, praising God. I would say they were revived. They were stirred up. They weren't sleeping in. They weren't just so busy with all the cares of life. They were focused on what God was doing and God's plan. Not just a few. And that was the kind of church that they added to daily, those being saved. I don't know if we're there yet, but I think we're closer than we've been in a while. I believe we're getting stirred up. We have some people meeting in a group called CADA. And they're meeting every Tuesday night. They're getting stirred up. Others here are getting stirred up. You getting stirred up? Who's already stirred? Well, maybe. All right, we're having Mass tomorrow. But I love this. They assembled in the temple with a united purpose. United purpose. They knew each other. They cared for each other. But they had a purpose. And our mission here is empowering people to give life. We are raising up life givers. We're raising up believers to do the works of the ministry. And not only raising up here, but all over the world. That's our purpose. That's something for us to get together on. And so the earlier church, they had revival, and they saw people coming into the kingdom. They had great purpose, and they had great love for each other. That's what I want right here at Good News Church, with this group. All right, let's look at another point, raising our expectations. Mark 6, let's look over there, Mark 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter? Is this not the guy from the valley? Is this not the guy from Beach Island? Is this not the guy from Traveler's Rest? Is this not the guy from St. Paul, Minnesota? Can anything good come out of Minnesota?" "The son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon, are not his sisters here with us?" And so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to him, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Son of God, could do no mighty work there except his his hands on a few sick people and healed them. I was doing this a little study on this word sick here, and it means people dealing with critical illness. That's pretty good, though. Even at his worst, Jesus is raising up critically ill people. Laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Then he marveled. He marveled because of their unbelief. I hope that's not how God looks at it. They're just sitting up in heaven talking about us. Boy, that Matt Jett, man, his unbelief is amazing. I've never seen such unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. The word mighty work here is, it's really only one word in the Greek, and it's the word dynamis. And that word dynamis, in this, they translate it here, mighty work. Dynamis means miraculous power, explosive strength and ability, overcoming power that leads to transformation. When dynamis is on the scene and it's being received, it brings transformation for the good. Changes things. Remember the madman of Gadara? The dynamis power of God came on the scene. He was now in his right mind. But I've got good news for you. That's the same word that's used over in Acts chapter 1 when it's talking about the believers and those being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, you shall receive power. Woo! The hairs on my arm are standing up. Woo! When we got filled with the Spirit, explosive, miracle, mighty working power came on the inside of us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got miracle power in you. Now take your hand and put it up by your eyes there, everybody. I want you to talk to the hand. This is a miracle hand. You do miracle works. Mighty works from these hands. But it says the reason the mighty works weren't occurring like they should have was because of unbelief. This word unbelief means uncertain of the truth. Lack of acknowledgement of Jesus. No confidence in God or His abilities. So this was an area, this was a group of people, and I hate to say it, but there's a lot in the church that are walking in unbelief. There's big churches in this city today that they don't want miracles. Miracles will mess it all up. I know one guy, a young man, he was having miracles and was telling his youth pastor about it, and his youth pastor shut him down and said, don't share that with anybody in our group. Don't share that in this church, because if you do, it will cause division. Well, I hope that's not the way it is at Good News Church. I hope that we're open to miracles, and that if miracles are happening, we want to tell it. We want miracles. But unbelief is a lack of faith. And I've got the commentaries. I mean, Susie tells me to burn this book, but it's got some other good historical stuff in it. But it's by a well-known theologian, well-known pastor. He says in his commentary on the book of Acts, miracles passed away with the apostles. You still want me to burn that book? All right, tomorrow morning we'll have a book burning. Well, tonight we're having the campfire. I will burn it if more people will come tonight. Cost me $40. But I'll burn it if you'll come. Okay. The miracles have passed away. So what we've got to do is, to counter unbelief, we've got to feed our faith on the Word. And then if we want, you know, you want healing, feed on healing. You want provision, feed on provision. You need salvation, feed on salvation. But if we want miracles, we need to feed on the miraculous from the Word of God. And we need to start going through the Gospels, going through the book of Acts, start reading about ourselves, start meditating on it. And of course, we'll do it so that we'll receive it. But we need to start seeing ourselves as miracle workers. We need to start seeing ourselves as people that bring transformation. We need to start seeing ourselves as life givers. Because things will not change until we see it in here. We've got to see it in here. It's not just going to happen because we're good people. It's not going to happen because I say it. It's not going to happen because I prophesy it or someone else has said it. Or it should be happening during this time. It's going to happen to you when you believe it and when you expect it, even if you're not seeing it in this natural realm. Faith is believing in something you don't see. But faith is perceiving what you see and hear as real. And when that happens, it will come. It's going to happen. It shall come to pass. But you've got to start seeing yourself differently. And the way to change, see, the image on the inside of you, your identity, has been formed from all the different voices in your life. And you've got to make the Word the greatest voice in your life and feed on that and change your identity to become conformed into the image of Christ. Amen. And He was famous for miracles, so therefore, if you're in Christ, you'll be known for miracles. But it's a process. And it doesn't just happen overnight. It's that constant feeding, putting seeds in there, watering those seeds, building that image. And that's one thing that we've been challenged with here, because and this is why there's not as many people here as maybe at some places. It's because we're making a demand on people. We're saying, hey, you've got a ministry. You've got a calling. You're a believer. You can do the works of Christ. But you want to know what? A lot of people don't want that. The church I grew up in, they didn't want that. They wanted the priest to do everything. They wanted the priest to do everything so they could go on Sunday and have a good service, but then live like however they wanted during the rest of the week. I know, because I was one of those guys. I was the guy that would come into service with the hangover. I was the guy on the way to the church that pulled my car over and throw up from last night's big party. Oh, partying is so glamorous. Drugs, alcohol, all that. Smoke, oh man, it is so glamorous. That's what the enemy will make you think. And so there I am in this church that just echoes, and the priest is talking, and my head is pounding, and it's like, oh my God, get me out of here. But see, I had that expectation. It was the priest. He was the guy. He was the anointed one. I had no idea that I was anointed. I had no idea that God had a plan for me. And that I'm a believer. And I can do the works of Christ. You have to change that image. And it's a process. In order to have miracles, now I'm talking to you now. In order for you to have miracles happen because you're there, you're going to have to give the Word. Or we could call it the Gospel. Share your testimony. Share miracle stories. Share the Word of God. Share the Gospel. But look what Mark 16 says. Verse 20. As soon as you get ready, I'm about to turn it over to you. Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. I love that. Because you're not on your own. The Lord's working with you. And confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. We've got to give God something to work with. Why isn't the hospital cleared out? Because no one's over there sharing the word with each patient. Why aren't neighborhoods changed? Because the word hasn't come in. Why aren't cities changed? Because the word hasn't been allowed to come in. But see, Romans chapter 10 says, it says some good things. How are they going to hear without a preacher? And we've looked at that and said, yeah, the fivefold, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Yeah, they need to preach the word. But it's talking to us. You know, how are they going to hear unless we're sent? I mean, we've got to go. We've got to bring something. We've got to have something to say. And that's one of the things we're trying to train people. We're trying to train you what to say, what to do, how to do it. And with any training, it's frustrating because when you start out, you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. That's all part of the training process. That's okay. I'm not saying that I want you to fall flat on your face, but that might happen. The first person I prayed for died. I killed him. It was very discouraging. Makes you want to just say, hey, well, just throw this stuff out. It doesn't work. But I kept with it and stayed at it. You can't give up. You can't quit. You keep on putting the word in. You keep on seeing yourself as the one bringing the miracles with you. The one bringing that transformation power. I'm believing for days, for the days that are coming. And it doesn't have to be in church. But I'm believing for like when someone that's not in their right mind, for the power of God to come and change things. Things like that. Yeah. Okay, Susie, go ahead. Just do something.
What does that mean? He gives me the service right when he says people that aren't in their right mind. What are you saying, Matt? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, a moment ago, Matt was talking about this process in our lives and how you have to have the word in. Matt always says that you can't give life if you don't have life. Well, the reality is when we are born again, the moment that we call upon the name of the Lord and we are saved, life, God's life, Zoe life, supernatural, everlasting life comes within us. So we have life. But learning to give life is a process. And first of all, you have to know you have it. Sometimes people, all they know is they have some peace. But then, you know, you spend some time sort of unwrapping and unveiling what you have been given in Christ, what that life is. And then you can receive more life. The word, Jesus said, the word, my words, they are life. So the more we receive life from him, the more we receive his word, the more life will come into us and we'll have more life to give. That's why it's so important to feed on the word of God, because life comes into you as you feed on the word of God. Life comes. And that, you know, again, it's a process. The Bible says in Mark 4, Jesus teaching, and he said that the whole kingdom is established on this principle that we put seeds in the ground. And those seeds over time, they work, something works in those seeds and they begin to grow and there comes a harvest. But, and then in the context of Mark 4, he was talking about the word being the seed. And the word comes in and it brings forth a harvest. And if Jesus said, my words are life, that means that the harvest we get from the word is life. because it implants. Every time we receive the word, it's implanted in our hearts and it will bring forth life. And so I see that, you know, we've been pastoring in a few weeks. We'll celebrate our 20th anniversary from our official launch on November the 12th, 1995, and us starting the church. And it's interesting, over 20 years, we've planted a lot of seeds. And some of those seeds have fallen on, you know, ground that's been good ground and has borne a harvest. Not all of them, but there has been some really good harvest on those seeds. But, you know, it's a process, and in that I want to tell, Jan, I want to tell your story. Jan, I'm going to have you tell your story in just a minute. Yeah, I am. Yeah, you are. I was just thinking when he was sharing that. Jana Childs here. Jana, I met her over a dog breeding situation. And went to her house and didn't know her. Somebody connected us, and I went to her house, took my dog, and saw if my dog would mess with her dog. So what was going on, you guys? That's a weird way to meet somebody. Well, anyway, and in that process of just, you know, talking to her for a little bit, she eventually asked me, you know, what do you do? And told her I was a pastor. And she's from a Baptist background, so they don't have a whole lot of women who pastor in Baptist churches. And so she's kind of looking at me sort of crook. And then she eventually, you know, was asking me, well, what kind of church do you have? You know, what kind of church is it? And she told me, it's not one of those churches where people speak in tongues, is it? And I'm like, well, yeah, I speak in tongues, Jana. You know, while the dogs are messing around. Yeah. And so that was pretty fun. And she just really thought, man, you are crazy. And she told me about her only experience of people that had spoken in tongues or some people lived across the way from her. And one day they'd had a service and I don't know what was going on in the building, but it spilled out on the lawn and there were people doing something on the lawn, falling out or convulsing or something. She thought somebody was having a seizure. And she went over, she has a nursing background, was trying to help them and found out they did need help, but not that kind of help. So that was her, and it scared her real bad. So you can see that would scare somebody. So anyway, so she didn't want anything to do with people that spoke in tongues. But for whatever reason, I was okay in her book, and we kind of got to know each other. And she told me one day, I'm going to come to your church, but I'm going to sit in the back, in the very back, on the back row when I come, because I can't. I'm going to have to be near the door so I can get out, because she was scared about the whole thing. I told her, it's not like that. You'll be okay. But then, you know, some weeks later, right around, I think it was a Sunday after Halloween last year, she showed up, shocked me. She's just sitting in the service. And she's been here just about every service since. And over the course of time, she's told me a lot of things she was never going to do, like speak in tongues. And she told me she'd never stand up and talk in front of people. And she told me she'd never be able to share the gospel with anybody and get anybody saved. It was like, all of y'all can do that, but that's not me. I don't see how I could do that. But what she didn't understand was this principle of how those words of life go in. And you just let them go in and let them do their work. They'll bring a harvest. And it's not about you doing it. It's what those words will do in your heart. And that's what I've watched happen in her life. Because every time she's made one of those statements to me, I'm just like, yeah, well, you'll see. And I've seen her get baptized in the Holy Spirit, seen her get her sister baptized in the Holy Spirit, seen her get up and testify and told us really funny stories. And now she just shared with me what happened yesterday. And I think it's really pertinent to you, because I know there's some people here today and you're thinking, yeah, that's for y'all to do. But I just come here because I like these messages and y'all are friendly. But I'm not getting in on that whole life-giving thing. Don't expect that of me. See, that's what Jana thought. Come on now. You okay? All right. You need to stand up here. She can be okay. Tell us what happened yesterday. You were having an estate sale at your house?
Yep. And some people wanted to know about a tree I have in the yard. And so Kenny came in and got me and said, these people want to know about one of your trees. So I said, oh, okay. So I went outside and they were looking at my Althea. And they said, "What kind of tree is this?" And I said, "That's my Christian tree." And they, "What?" You know? And I said, "No, really, it's in the Bible. It's the Rose of Sharon." And they said, "Well, we never heard of that," you know? And I said, "Well, I'll share it with you." So I started talking about the tree. And then one thing led to another. And I asked them, you know, if y'all died today or, say, a million years from now, do you know where you'd go? And the wife said, "I think I would. I think I know because I've been to church." And the husband said, "No, he didn't know." And I said, "Well, God would be really sad for y'all to miss that opportunity." And I said, "So somehow, he wanted me to talk to y'all. So I'm going to talk to you." So I ran, which I am having some problems with my hip, so running I haven't done since April. But I ran in, got my Bible, and got one of the little books that y'all have. And I went back out, and I was talking to him and showing him in the Bible and showing him the little, what do you call those things?
The cards?
Yeah. No, the little pamphlets.
Good News You Can Use?
Yeah, the ones in the room back there.
Oh, yeah. Good News You Can Use.
Okay. I gave him one of those. So, anyway.
You don't have to know the name to do this.
No, I just showed him the book. But anyway, we started talking about it, and I said, you know, we can take care of this right now. You know, you won't ever have to worry again, and we can do this right now. And they said, "How in the world is that?" And I said, "Well, you can pray the prayer of salvation with me." And so we did. And I don't know where the words came from. I'm going to tell you up front. I didn't, you know, because I don't do that. But it just did. And it was so easy. It just flowed right out, you know. I mean, you'd have been so proud. But it does work. And I was able to talk to him a little more. And they didn't buy anything, but anyway. They bought my story. So they said they were going to come to church, and I ran and got a card, you know, the little business cards they have out front. And I gave them the card and told them about Good News and said, you know, it's just the happiest place in the world. I mean, you go in, you're going to feel happy. You're not going to feel condemnation. You're not going to feel like you're not worthy. You're just going to be loved on like you have never been loved on before. But I don't see them today. Are you in here?
Okay.
But nobody stood up.
No.
But anyway, they were saved. There's no doubt about it. And I did it, and I feel worthy. I'm on my toes anymore. You know how when they preach and you leave going, wow, I feel, you know, they were stomping on me, talking directly to me. But I don't feel that today.
Thank you, Jen. Hallelujah. That's how it works, though. It's not about you making up something, working up something. It's what God works in you. And that's what we're just saying, is be open. Just listen. And she couldn't help herself. I wasn't there going, "Jana." Oh, you can hear me. It's not about that. It's still God's life, but gets so big in you. Now, I'm going to tell you what I just had her share. The same thing works for the miraculous. The same thing works for the miraculous. The same life that, so now you got somebody saved. Well, the next thing you know, you'll be getting people healed. She's going, "Not me." Oh, she's going to Costco today and get some more people. So if you got any people need to get saved, have them down at Costco. Here comes Jenna. But the same thing with God's miracle working power, because as it comes into you, if those seeds come into you, they start, that life starts growing in you, and then you have life for other people. I was over at Longhorns with some ministers not long ago, and some people came in, and I just saw them across the way. I'm there. I'm not interested in what's going on over there. I'm not there to help anybody, heal anybody, do anything except take care of these ministers I have here. Matt stopped with me, and I'm kind of overwhelmed with what I'm dealing with there with them. And the whole time, this couple came in, and they walked across and sat down. And the whole time, all I could see was the woman. I noticed something about her. When she got to the table, I'm like, I'm going to go over there. Something, she needs healing. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this conversation and excuse myself and go over and interrupt their lunch and everything. And the next thing I know, the woman stood up to go to the bathroom. And I said, y'all, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And so it all just worked out. And I went to the bathroom, and she was in the stall. And I stood right outside the stall. Did she open the door? There I am. And I'm like, are you in pain? She just looked at me. And in the moment I said that, she just fell over and burst into tears. She says, I am in terrible, terrible pain. And she had a lot of female issues going on. And so I just right there in the bathroom laid hands on her, and all the pain left immediately. I washed my hands, went back to the table. And I sat at the table going, why did you do that? Well, it's just because that's what's in me. And it's what comes out. And that's what I'm saying to you. That's what's in you. This miracle working power that Matt's been talking about, this dunamis, is in us and on us. And we're not talking about working anything up. We're not talking about, you know, we're just talking about just being aware of it and then just moving out. And it will be. It has been said. It has been prophesied. It has been said, and we certainly see it in the scriptures, that it will be as normal for you to function and flow in the miraculous power of God in the supernatural. It will be as normal for you as it is for a bird to fly through the air, or a fish to swim through the water. You know, it's totally normal for a fish to swim. It's totally normal for a bird to fly. You and me marvel at birds flying because we can't. But that's what's in a bird. Flight is in a bird. Swimming in the water is in a fish. Guess what's in you? The supernatural power of God. That's what's in you. No wonder it would be normal for you. That's normal. So that's normal for me. Yeah, that was really weak. That's normal for you. It's normal for you. It's normal for you. Now let's try it again. Say, that's normal for me. Yeah. For some of you, that just scared you. Don't be scared.
At Acts chapter 4. And this is where the early church, after the miracle at the gate called Beautiful, the lame man was raised up, and all the stir that happened there. And then Peter and John, they were threatened by the religious leaders, and so they come back to their own company. And so they're, you know, obviously a little nervous, a little shaken up, maybe a little intimidated. Ever been intimidated? You know, there's that scripture that Paul says to Timothy, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Well, that word fear means timidity. Part of that definition is to be timid or to be intimidated. And the enemy wants to intimidate us from sharing and stepping out. Well, I love their prayer, and I want to read in the book of Acts where they came together and they prayed this. And I just think these are some things that we need to be praying and saying. Acts 4. And actually, this is the first corporate prayer recorded in the book of Acts, which is very interesting. Acts 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Look on their threats. When you're threatened, That's to be intimidated. That's to get you to back down. It's to get you to quit. It's to get you to stop. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand. And it's amazing how close we work with God. You know, stretching out your hand. It's our hand stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with dynamis power. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. We have to call in what we desire. And it's not complicated prayer. Pray for boldness. Talked about laying hands on the sick. And about using the name of Jesus. It's not complicated. It's not hard. But when they believed together, they prayed together, and they believed together, it happened. So before I have Nate come, whatever he's going to do, Nate's going to do a song and dance for us. I want to pray that. And I want us to believe together. And I want us to call it in. And I want you not just to be passive person, but let's be together in this. And then I don't want you just to do it now, but to continue to do it. Pray for each other. Speak boldness over the people here. We're no longer timid. And we're people that step out and we lay hands on the sick and we speak in the name of Jesus. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with God. Filled up so much that it just overflows. And that we start seeing ourselves and each other as miracle workers. That we start saying about ourselves, greater works than these we shall do. You shall do. Amen? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you at Good News Church. There's an expectation for the miraculous. Not only when we get together, but when we leave and when we go different places. Father, this group here is bold. They are fearless. They are not afraid. They are not timid. But they are bold to step out and act like Jesus. And they lay hands on the sick and they recover. And they cast out devils and they speak to things in the name of Jesus. And when they do it, it's just like Jesus himself doing it. They are Jesus to their world. They are ambassadors for Christ. They are ministers of reconciliation. And I just declare right now that we walk in that ministry of reconciliation. That the power of God is on us to do that. And then you work with us. You work with us. We stretch forth your hand to heal. And Lord, I thank you for opportunities even this week where we may have been timid and intimidated in the past, but now we are bold. And we won't just say, hey, I'll be thinking about you or I'll pray for you later. I'm going to pray for you now in the name of Jesus. And when I pray, I expect something to change. I expect transformation. I expect that dynamis power to come on the scene. These are miracle workers. Mighty works coming from their hands. And that this church is known for mighty works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just bow your head and close your eyes for a little bit longer. I believe a message like this warrants a response. If I can get somebody to come and play. I believe a message like this warrants a response. And I want you to respond in a couple of ways. First of all, if that message hit home to you and you're a person, you've never worked a miracle And Good News Church is going to be known for the miraculous. You've never worked a miracle in your life and you want to, you believe God's stirring something on the inside of you. I want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. I've never worked a miracle, but God is stirring something on the inside of me. I want that to take place in my life. I want God to use me in that way. Just lift your hand up wherever you are. Say, that's me. I want God to use me in that way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. And I believe that's your way of responding and saying, God, use me. Here I am. Send me. God, use me in that way. And there are plenty of you here who have worked miracles before, but maybe something's kind of grown stagnant in that area. Maybe he's used you in that way in the past, but for whatever reason, you've been timid. You've been shying away from opportunities. And you say, well, that's me. And I believe God wants to stir some things up in me and wants to use me in a greater way in that area. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I've kind of grown stagnant in that, but God wants to use me in a greater way. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe God wants to use you in a greater way. Those of you who responded, that he wants to do something in and through you. This is an empowering service, and it's meant for you to receive power today in a greater way. If you raised your hand in any way, I want you just to get out of your seat and come forward. If that was you, we want to minister to you. I want to lay hands on you. And I believe that something's going to take place, that there's going to be a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your power being made evident. Father, you answered the apostles' prayer. You answered the believers' prayer in the book of Acts chapter 4, just in the way we prayed just a moment ago. You answered them by showing up with power. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So that's our expectation today. That's our expectation in these next few moments, that these believers would be filled with your power. That they would be filled with the Holy Spirit in a greater way coming upon them in Jesus' name. And they would speak your word with boldness. They would speak your word with boldness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your power. And so you guys just begin praying. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, just begin praying in tongues and expect His Spirit to come upon you, to flow out from within you, to come upon you in the name of Jesus. A greater power. A greater power, a greater power, a greater power in Jesus' name, flowing in and through you in the name of Jesus. From within, out upon others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh yeah, 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 greater power, greater, 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 flowing in greater things in Jesus' name. Flowing in greater things in Jesus' name. Working miracles. I see you working miracles in the name of Jesus. Laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover. Not just recovering, but instant, 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 instant. The supernatural taking place in Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah, and it's not hard for you. It's not hard for you in the name of Jesus. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy in Jesus' name. It's easy for you to step out like never before. Stepping out like never before. Even this week. Even this week. Laying hands on the sick. Even this week in Jesus' name. The miraculous taking place. The miraculous taking place. Yeah, 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 yeah. And you'll see more. You'll see more healed, more delivered, more set free. Yeah, just like the book of Acts, just like the ministry of Jesus. Stepping out in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit using you. Being made right, being made whole, and making others whole in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in a greater measure. The Spirit poured out in a greater measure in and through you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, laying hands on the sick, seeing them healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Speaking the word of God with boldness. The word of God flowing through you like never before. The word of God flowing through you, giving life like never before in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, brava baba shiki ti shiki la 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 bo ti shiki mama mama da da de de shiki. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll be a voice of healing for your family. A voice of healing for your family in Jesus' name. Using you in a greater way. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. Open your mouth and speak what He gives you. Yeah, yeah. And you'll wonder, where did that come from? It's the Holy Spirit in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing out upon you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, yeah. Don't be afraid. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. No fear here. We speak to timidity. Leave in Jesus' name. Yeah, you're bold in some regard. It's time to step it up. Step it up and step out some more. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. A greater boldness coming upon you. Yeah, stirred up in Jesus' name. Stirred up in the name of Jesus. Stirred up like never before. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Those works and greater works you'll do in Jesus' name. Yeah. Greater works in Jesus' name. Greater opportunities for you. Greater opportunities on your job. Greater opportunities in your neighborhood, in your family. Greater opportunities to be the voice of God, to speak the words of Christ. Oh yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Stepping out. Doing the works of Christ in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Being stirred up right now. Yeah. In Jesus' name. We speak to distractions. Leave. Be gone. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for a singular focus on the miraculous, on being used by you in a powerful way. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah. I see you loosening people's chains. People that were once in bondage, once they encounter you, it's like you got a key. It's like you unlock the chains of bondage on their life, and they're set free, and they walk in a new freedom. Yeah. Hallelujah. Step into it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit coming upon Paige right now in Jesus' name. Yes. In a greater way. As you step out in obedience. Yeah. Miracles will flow through your hands in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Empowered by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In the right place, at the right time. Yeah, for impacting people with the gospel in Jesus' name. Impacting people. Hallelujah. Yeah. Give attention to His Word, He says. Give attention to His Word and allow His Word to flow through you. Thank you, Jesus. Giving attention to His Word and allowing His Word to flow through you. And as His Word flows through you, so will miracles. So will the miraculous in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Here's what I saw earlier as I was praying. There are people out here. You need prayer. You need a miracle in your life. You need God to meet you exactly where you are. You've never seen God work a miracle for you, or you've seen God work miracles for you in the past, but you need one today. You need one right now. If that's you, would you just stand up wherever you're at? If that's you, say, I need God to heal my body, or raise your hand, whatever you need to do. I need God to provide for me in a miraculous way. If something doesn't happen this week, I'm going under. Just raise your hand or stand up where you're at. Now, these guys that I just prayed for and ministered to you, would you turn around, find some people that are standing or raising their hand, and I want you to practice. It wants a response. You responded. Now practice what's been preached. Lay hands on the sick. Ask them what they need. Ask them how you can pray for them. This is an opportunity for you to receive. It's an opportunity for you to give. So, Father, I thank you right now that miracles are taking place all over here, all throughout this room, all throughout this space in Jesus' name. And don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to stand up. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're going through. The Holy Spirit's here. God's presence is here. His power is here for you to receive from heaven today. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the miraculous taking place, that this building, this place would be shaken and stirred up. Stirred up for the miraculous today. Stirred up for reaching our worlds like never before. Stirred up for stepping out in faith like never before. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that bodies are mended in the name of Jesus. That hearts that have been broken are healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, for financial provision coming to people in desperate straits and right now in Jesus' name. Marriages being mended in Jesus' name. Relationships being made whole and well in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Forgiveness being offered and people letting go of past hurts and regrets in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Spirit flowing through this place. Just receive whatever it is that you need today. Receive whatever it is you need right now in these moments. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to give you an opportunity. I know a lot's taking place here. I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never accepted Christ as Savior, as Lord, if you've never called upon Him to be saved today, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you say, I don't know for sure. I hope so. I want you to know for sure today. You can know for sure today. It's as easy as believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing with your mouth that He is Lord. I want to lead you all in this prayer today. Would you repeat this after me and believe this in your heart if that's you? I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven, but I want to. If that's you, say this aloud and mean it in your heart and join with us as we all pray this together. Would you repeat this after me, everybody in this place? Father in heaven, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross and You raised Him from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I accept You and You accept me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we've got some prayer partners that are going to be standing up here in just a moment. I encourage you to come and speak to them. They've got some things for you. They've got some materials that they want you to read, some stuff, free stuff they want to put in your hands. I want to encourage you to come. And if you, for whatever reason, you need prayer for any other thing, our prayer partners are available right here for you. You guys have anything else? Okay. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Once again, we thank you for all that's been said here, for all that's been done, for your power that's shown up in a miraculous way, because it's here, because it resides in us as believers, that dynamis power, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We speak the word of God with boldness wherever we go. And I speak that over all the people of Good News Church. We represent you. We represent Good News Church. We represent the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, wherever we go. We are His hands. We are His feet. And we give life just as if Jesus were there. We do the same things as Jesus did in greater works, He said, that we'll do because He goes to the Father. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Good News Church is known for the miraculous. Hallelujah. People of Good News Church, known for the miraculous, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that even this week we'll give life and we'll work miracles wherever we go. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you about a couple things and remind you that we've got hospitality available in the atrium. Stick around, grab some coffee, some refreshments. Also, if you're going to be involved in Trunk or Treat, volunteering for that, we want to invite you to our Trunk or Treat countdown celebration tonight at 5:30. Go and be blessed. Love you guys.